Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be accepted in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness has been around a long time, even before the founding documents of our nation. Even back before James, the Greeks were talking. Aristotle said that happiness was found in the pursuit of excellence, wisdom, and the highest good. Well, that sounds decent, but there was a fatal flaw. Aristotle couldn't define the highest good. Pretty soon, pursuing happiness was the same thing as pursuing pleasure. Today, as often as not so much as pursuing excellence, it's about following your passion. If you follow your passionate, what you're about, whatever it may be, that's where happiness lies. What makes you happy is all that matters. You are the center of the universe, and you must cancel anything or anyone who gets in your way of being happy. Keep all that in mind as the backdrop of our epistle lesson. St. James never mentions happiness in our text, but he does talk about passion. And while people are always tempted to put passion and happiness together, that is not where happiness is to be found. Thus, our text tells us about two different wisdoms, the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. God makes it clear in our text that you can't have it both ways. Being friends with the world is enmity with God. And whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. St. James describes the first wisdom by saying that it does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, worldly, unspiritual, demonic, and is characterized by bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. It results in boasting, denial of truth, disorder, adultery, pride, lust, and every vile practice. Clearly, my friends, this is not the wisdom we want to hang around. We want to stay away from it. But if only you could. It's all around you. It's in you. Because this is what the world considers to be wisdom. This wisdom is an attempt to pursue happiness outside of God and His mercy. This is the wisdom that says, whoever you are, follow your passion. Do what makes you happy. And if happiness is all about following your own passion and doing what you want to do, then selfish ambition must be a virtue, not a vice, because selfish ambition is nothing else than pursuing what you want for yourself. As you're ambitiously pursuing what you want for yourself, you can't be looking out for other people. But ambition has a price. There's often a trail of broken marriages, lost friends, and neglected children. There's another part of this pursuit. It never ends, because selfish ambition is never fulfilled. Happiness is never really achieved. So it's all around you. Current heroes aren't those who serve and sacrifice, but those who climb over others to get to the top. And it's also in you. Your passions are at war within you. There are things you want, things that make you happy. In the proper context and in moderation, they're not necessarily bad. But any pleasure can become an idol, and any highest good can become a false god. Sometimes passions can enslave us, where one is trapped, unable to escape, owned and far from happiness. Maybe we seek to escape pain or heighten pleasure, and so turn to alcohol, drugs, pornography. We self-medicate. We need more and more because the pleasure is fleeting. Even when we find no pleasure, we are compelled to risk family, neglect work, misuse money, and make all sorts of compromises in order to serve the passion. Any highest good can become a false god. So what makes you happy? What do you enjoy doing? What gives you pleasure? Well, the answers will vary. The devil will use these gifts to lead you astray. He wants you to love them more than God. He wants you to enjoy yourself at the expense of loving your neighbor. For example, time alone can be a blessing for collecting your thoughts, doing some reading and studying. But when that time is at the expense of your spouse, your children, or neighbors in need, the devil has used that happiness to keep you from doing what God has created and called you to do. Hobbies and activities can be great for mental health, but when they cut into the necessary expenses of your family, they become a problem. For the sake of our souls and those around us, James says, submit yourselves to God. Resist these things. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We draw near to God and he draws near to us by his grace for Christ's sake. In Christ is where we find our happiness, where we are cleansed and our hearts purified. For Christ has conquered sin and the devil. He has redeemed us from sin, selfish ambition, and bitter jealousy by the sacrifice of his Son on the cross. The cross is the complete antithesis to the wisdom of the world. Where sinners pursue happiness for themselves out of selfish ambition, the Son of God came to serve and sacrifice himself to redeem sinners like you and me. We are God's redeemed, and therefore we are enemies of the world. What is the world to us? When the world operates out of bitter jealousy for what others have, Jesus Christ submitted to the cross and his Father's judgment for all sin. Jesus declares that salvation is found in him, in his work, his death and resurrection, all a gift to us. All of this is summed up in our text with five words, but he gives more grace. As the wisdom of the world continues to deceive man into rejecting God, God continues to pour out grace. He does so for the sake of Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. Jesus Christ is your Savior, and he is the wisdom of God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you, James tells you. The Lord calls you to hear his word, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it, not as just some textbook for this great institution in a class you're taking, or for a reference book for a Bible study. It is more than that. It is life-giving. It is the sword of the Spirit, the word and power of God unto salvation. It is where you draw near to God, and he draws near to you. And you come to him in his holy supper, where he draws near to you in his very body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. In your baptism, our Lord reached down into the muck and mire of our sinfulness and cleansed our hands and purified our hearts. He came near to us. By his grace, he created in you a clean heart. By his cross, he has redeemed your heart and your hands, not for selfish ambition, but for the happiness of being exalted as a child of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What is the world to us? Amen.